The first time around, I sent all of you a collection of Midrashim. And there is one that we did not discuss last time, but I very much wanted you to be able to see it and to contemplate it a little. There is one that at the bottom that I highlighted in yellow, Midrash Mehashiloach. And I felt that this was crucial for us to understand because you understand that the Torah is written on so many multiple levels. Amar Rabbi Brachia, Keshem She'en Lifnei Habet Ki'im Aleph. Just as there really is no letter that comes before the Bet, except for the letter Aleph, Kach Ein Lifnei Ha'olam Ela Yechido Shel Olam. Before this universe, before anything of the world that we know, there was nothing but the singular one of the world, and that is Kodesh Baruch Hu, the one and only. And he stands for Aleph. And in the language of Kabbalah, the Aleph is the Ein Sof. And Ein Sof means, of course, without end. He's both the eternal, and he is everywhere. Amar Rabbi Nechemia, Bereshit, and he means that very first line, Bereshit, that very first word, Bereshit, Yesh bo shesh otiyot, has in it six letters, Ki minyan sheshet yemei ha-maaseh, to stand for the 6 days in which God created the world. Ubepasuk, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. There are sheva tevot, and a teva means a whole word. Ki yiminyan yimei ha-shabbat. As there are 7 days of the week. Ve-yesh bo, and in this very first verse, yesh bo esrim ve-shmone otiyot. There are 28 letters. Kiminyan koach. It has the value of koach. Kafchet, 28. Ki koach maasav, ki gid le'amo. Because God wanted to tell his people the power that's in his creations, in the things that he made. Remember, we talked last week about what's the purpose of knowing all of this. It's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give us a glimpse into the secrets of the universe. And as a result, I wanted you to look at the very first chapter, the story of creation of the 6 days in Perek Aleph. And I wanted you to look at this and see the patterns that are here. I asked you all to look at the first chapter, Perek Aleph. Now, I've done some of my homework, so I used a highlighter, and I used a highlighter in multiple colors for you to begin to see patterns. And you will notice first the pattern, in which if you learn Pirkei Avos, you will have learned that it says, Be'asara ma'amarot nivra olam, with 10 pronouncements, God created the world, literally with the word Vayomel. So I counted how many Vayomels there are in this story. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can see that, right? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And one is missing. Where's the 10th one? Come Chazal and tell us that the 10th one is the word Bereshit. That itself was a pronouncement. And that is Kabbalistically the word. And when you heard the Christians using that line and say, in the beginning there was the word, that's the word. The word is Reshit. With that word he created the world. Now let's look carefully at what he does in each of these cases. In the very first case it says, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or Vayhi Or. Vayar Elokim Et Ha'or Ki Tov. Vayavdel Elokim ben ha'or uvein ha'choshech. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom ulachoshech kara laila. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker, yom echad. Now, if you looked at the way the other days operated, you will have seen that it says vayas lokim et harakia vayavdel ben hamayim asher mitachat harakia ben hamayim asher me'al harakia vayhi chen. But in the first day, it does not say vayhi chen. It just says vayhi or. Instead of saying vayhi chen, it says vayhi or. But we are also told here vayar elokim et haor ki tov, and you see that. Vayikra Elokim layabasha eretz velamikveh hamayim karam yamim vayar Elokim kitov. And kitov does not appear in day 2. It does appear in day 3. It appears not only in day 3 once, it appears in day 3 twice. Now we also have, of course, a series of logical questions. How does one separate between light and darkness? If there is light, there's no darkness. If there's darkness, there's no light. How can you separate them? They can't coexist, can they? More importantly, what does it mean that it was good? Is there something that God would have made or created that's not good, Uvechi? I mean, the logical question is, velora, and not bad? Particularly since we will then see over and over again, kitov, 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 culminating ultimately with vihine tov me'od.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why, if there's already light and we have vegetation, why do we wait until day 4 to have the sun and the moon and the stars to give light on earth?
Right. Let me ask the question even a better way. You're told me that he's separated between the light and the darkness on the first day, and then it tells you on the fourth day that God went and created the sun and the moon, right, and the stars, and made those lights ruling, having domination by day and by night, and their job is also lehavdil bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech. Well, that was already done, wasn't it? You see, that's redundant.
I have another question from the same verse.
Yes.
Signs for festival times. Plants don't have festivals. Cycles of days and years. Mm-hmm. What is that to plants?
Okay. You're using the word festivals because of the way that was translated. Please notice that the word moed means a time. Means time. Otot means signs, times, days, years. So we can use it almost to indicate seasons much more than we can mean festivals. The fact that today we call them Mo'adim is because the Mo'adim are related to the seasons. So you've got Pesach, Chag HaAviv. Sukkot is Chag HaAsif. You understand? You've got harvest time. These are the seasons, but that's essentially what it means. So it was designed for seasons. And you know that that's when you have your equinox. That begins the separation between winter and fall, right? All of those. That's Mo'adim. Otot are signs. And those signs might be dealing with something that we might think of as a horoscope. Or as things that portend, such as an eclipse, that might, in fact, indicate something is about to happen. It is signals from above. But your question is a very good question. Any other questions that any of you have seen?
I have a question also about time.
Yeah.
And that is, time doesn't really matter to the universe.
Time doesn't matter, and I didn't hear the rest of your sentence.
It doesn't matter to the stars, it doesn't matter to the moon, or most of the planets, or the heavenly bodies. Time is of no significance, and they're not the ones who, for whom it is an oat or a moed, because it makes no difference to them.
Correct.
It doesn't even matter for plants. They can grow with or without seasons. They don't need that.
Well, they could. They would need seasons unless they're in the, depending on the kind of plants that you have, of course, you're quite right.
I'm assuming that we have the kind of plants we have now. Okay, they need day and night and
right.
So on. But they can do just fine in some other form. So, you know, the whole question of time is a very interesting question.
In other words, time has no meaning in this case, does it? But what is happening here is, to some degree, we are anticipating. We are preparing. We are preparing step by step by step by step for what? For the emergence of a human being. We are moving from inanimate to vegetation. From vegetation, suddenly we've got the lights coming in. We also are then moving to various kinds of life forms that are both in the water and are amphibian and in the air, in the heavens. And then we finally are moving into more advanced life forms, and including, by the way, mammals, until we finally come along with the pronouncement about God creating a human being. What we have a big problem with is that last time we learned that the word bara signifies yesh mi'ayin, creation ex nihilo, something from nothing. And yet the word appears again, and that's what I told you last time, is that we would see it showing up again. Where does it show up? It shows up with the word vayivra Elokim et hataninim, pasuk kafalef. You all see it here. God created the taninim hagdolim, those big reptiles. And yet, what doesn't it say about the creation of those reptiles? There's that word missing, vayihichen, and it was so. And what does it mean, it was so? And why doesn't it appear the first day at all, that light that's there? But it does say it was good. And what does that goodness mean? Is it psychological? Is it moral? What does the word mean? Terribly problematic, you understand? Now, we already announced that the word vayomer, he said, is God's will. He willed it. He thought it. And if it doesn't say to whom one says it, it means a thought. So when you ever, you'll later on read in the Tanakh that a human being said, and it doesn't say to whom he said it, it means it was a thoroughly thought through idea. It was in his mind. So God wills it, and it happens. But you will notice that whatever is being willed comes out either of the water, or it comes out of the earth, except, of course, for the me'orot. So we will try to look at some of these issues today, because I sent you some of those questions, right? You all received those questions. And I hope that our time will allow us to move to the culmination, and the culmination being the creation of the human being. The first thing you need to understand is that it doesn't say here the word Yom Rishon, the first day, though I don't know what your translations do. It actually says day one. Because the word Rishon, first, is ordinal. It presupposes something coming after it. And we don't yet know that anything is going to come after. In fact, to some degree, it's disattached. Secondly, the all that we have here is not the sun. And it's not the moon. So what I have here is I have two forms of energy. Radiant energy and black energy. Dark energy, remember? Like the black holes, right? That sucks things in. I have things going inwards and then I have things going outwards. And from that little thing I'm dealing with here, that Yehi-O was perhaps what we might have called today the Big Bang. Day one. And day one, to a large degree, by calling it Yom Echad, is utterly and completely different from the days that follow. But let's see how the ancients looked at this. Says the Ramban, Vayhi Or, Lo Amar Vayhi Chen, Ka'amur B'Shar HaYamim, as it says in the other days. And of course, you know that it doesn't say that every day. We already said that it doesn't appear where? With regards to the Taninin. Because the word Vayehichen actually means it is as you know it today. Because this is being written for a human being reading it. And it was so as you know it. Is the light that occurred on the first day as you know it? And the answer is no. Which is why Chazal tell us that that light, though it still exists, nignaz, was hidden, was put away in the archives. It's deep inside the story of creation. Where might it be? Is it perhaps that electron, that energy that's inside the atom, which only when we finally split the atom did we find out that there is a radiant light that comes from it, and perhaps even a destructive light, but which needs to be there. It's there, but cannot be seen, and will ultimately one day be seen again. Lo amar vayihi chen kamur b'shar hayamim, לפי שלא עמד האור בתכונה הזאת כל הימים כשאר מעשה בראשית. This light did not remain as it was in the remainder of the days of creation and thereafter. This light no longer is apparent to us. ויש לרבותינו בזה מדרש בסוד נעלם. Our sages have in here a deep, hidden secret. He means a mystical secret. It is the force, if you like, which some have called Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is as if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam took his force, his energy, and zapped it into matter, and infused himself into the physical world, even though he transcends the physical world. And brought himself into space that he created. Furthermore, it doesn't say Vayichen Hosif Bikan et ha'or She'ilu amar Vayar Elokim Kitov. In other words, it says Vayar Elokim et ha'or. God saw the light. And what does it say in the other days? Let's look carefully. Vayar Elokim, God saw, doesn't say what he saw, Kitov. But here it indicates et ha'or, he saw it was good. Says the Ramban, this is to exclude what was written earlier. Because what was written earlier was Bereshit bara Elokim et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz v'aretz hayta tohu v'avohu v'choshech al pnei tehom. And they are not good. The or is good. To exclude what was written in the first and second verse, he comes and says, if he said, Vayar Elokim Kitov, haya chozer al briyat shamayim va'aretz. Velo gazar bahem adayin kiyum. And God did not yet decree that they would survive, that they would last. Why? Because the way they were initially created, what we called Shamayim Va'aretz, was the stuff from which Shamayim Va'aretz would be made. But they did not remain in that form. Ki lo amdu kacha. Aval min ha'chomer shenivra berishon, but from the substance, the matter that was created on the first day, ne'esa b'sheni rakia. On the second day he made rakia. Now the word rakia means something that you stretch out and make as a barrier. That barrier, for lack of another word, is what we would call the atmosphere around Earth. Ubashlishi, and on the third day, nifridu hamayim v'ha'afar, water and soil were separated, v'ne'eset ha'yibasha. And then the dry land occurred, which now is going to be called Aretz. So I used the word Aretz earlier to mean everything from which matter would be made. But now I'm referring specifically to Earth. In the same way that I can think of the word as Earth as our planet, and I can use the word Eretz as soil, or Eretz as a particular country, a particular geographic region. The term is an homonym which initially had a very broad meaning and now becomes more gradually narrowed. Ve'az gazar bahem kiyum. And only then did God say, okay, this is the way we're going to keep it. Ve'amar bahem vayar Elokim kitov. So he didn't say kitov until the third day. Because initially, what you've got here is, on the second day, is the making of the rakia, which is our atmosphere. And that's all we have at this stage. That rakia is the area which is filled with oxygen and various other elements which we breathe and which we expel and which are necessary for humans to survive and for plants to survive. So we have carbon dioxide. We've got this soup of ruach all over us. You understand? Which was previously described as Ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim. That Ruach is in fact air and all the elements that are in air. And then why does he say Vahi Erev Vahi Boker Yom Echad? How can there be Erev and how can there be Boker when there's no sun and there's no moon? Haya erev vehaya boker shel yom echad vayikra tchilat halayla erev. Why is it called erev? Because in the evening yitarvu bo hatzurot. Because of the diminishing light, it is hard to distinguish one thing from another. So all shapes and forms are mixed up. Utchilat hayom, and the beginning of day, is called boker. Because levaker means to discriminate, to be able to distinguish. Sheyevaker adam benotam. Because with the new increasing light, one can begin to distinguish between shapes and forms. Kach piresh Rabbi Avraham. So explained Rabbi Avraham. And when he says Rabbi Avraham, he means Ibn Ezra. But I say, he says, al derech hapshat. Lo yitachen lomar yom rishon, you can't say first day. Ba'avur shadayin lo nesa hasheni, because there still hasn't been a second one. For all we know, that's all there'll be. Ki harishon kodem lasheni, because when you say first, you're presupposing a second. Either in counting or in quality, right? First quality, and these are seconds that I bought at the discount store. Aval shnehem nimtzaim va'echad lo yore al hasheni. But if I say one, it does not indicate that there is anything coming forward, nothing else that can happen, either in numbers or in quality. That's all there is. Vayihi ol. If that's the case, the first day is what we would have thought in Avi Ezri's term as the Big Bang, and it's a day in which a lot of things are happening all at once. But then he tells us, Vayihi chen, when the word Vayihi chen appears, Shehaya ken tamid kol yemei ha'olam, because that's the way it was established to be, all the days of our world, of the world that we know as human beings, living in the here and now, that are reading the Torah. It is the way it was, and that's the way God established it. Which means that if it doesn't say Vayihi Chen, it means that whatever it is, changed its form, changed its shape, either evolved or became extinct. And then you have to ask why, and we don't know the answer. And that's why he tells us, why does it say Vayivra Elokim et hataninim hagdolim? And why does the word bara appear when he himself said that the word bara means something from nothing, something utterly and completely new? Ba'avur godel hanivraim ha'ele, because of the great size of these creations, which tells us that they already knew in the Middle Ages about dinosaurs. They already had dug and found evidence of life forms that no longer exist. שיש בהם אורכם פרסאות רבות, because some of them are so humongous that they have a length that can sometimes extend for many many feet long. הגידו היוונים מספריהם, the Greeks wrote in their books שידעו מהם ארוכים 500 פרסה, they knew of some that were 500 feet long. ורבותינו גם כן הפליגו בהם, and our sages also described, and not only described, but spoke hyperbolically about these creatures that once existed. And he says, if you want to go there, go to Baba Vatra. בעבור זה ייחס בהם הבריאה לאלוקים. That's why he, you must indicate that this is something that God created new, and could not have come merely from what was already here, because there was something new that happened here. And what's new here is the anima. The anima is this thing that suddenly moves from one life form to another life form, and a life form no longer in the sea, but now on land. כי הוא שהמציאם מאין מבראשית, because God, again, made something here new, from the very beginning, from a nothing. Yes, part of it came from the earth, but something new was added to them. כאשר פירשתי לשון בריאה, as I already explained, לשון בריאה in the first pasuk. And furthermore, כן יעשה באדם למעלתו. So he will later on use the word ברא again, להודיע כי הוא מוצא מאין, that God created something that did not exist before and injected it into this human form that came from the earth and that had a lot of similarities to all other creatures by giving him da'ato v'sichlo, his intelligence, his ability to know, and his consciousness. The Kli Yakar notices that what was created on the fourth day is not or, but me'orot, me'orot. He says, I want you to notice carefully what happened here. In the very first verse, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, K'tiv Beparasha Zu, he calls it a parasha. Parasha? So I want to go back and show you the way things are. If you open up your Chumash, you will see that after this section, there is a pause, a stop. The division of chapters, the way we have them, and the numeration of the verses as we currently use them, are not ours. They come from a Christian source. From the 1300s, the Archbishop of Canterbury went and printed the Bible and decided to divide them into chapter and verse. Sometimes he got it right. Sometimes he got it wrong, and sometimes he got it wrong on purpose. So you will notice, please, that this is considered a whole parasha. And a parasha means I pause here and I start all over again, which means it's a whole chapter unto itself. When the Torah does that, it wants to separate each day, to tell you that each day is a unit all unto itself. And if you look carefully, you will see that the word, since every word needs to be accounted for, was a bit redundant. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or once. Vayhi Or. Vayara Elokim et Haor Kitov. Vayavdel Elokim ben Haor uven Achoshech. Vayikra Elokim Laor Yom velachoshech kara Laila. Says the Kli Yakar as follows. Five times the word or appeared in this particular parasha. וזה כי מצינו לרבותינו זיכרונם לברכה שאמרו בחגיגה. אור שנברא ביום ראשון נגנז. He says the light that was created on the first day was hidden, put away, you can't see it anymore. And if you would see it, you'd be dead. It is such a powerful, forceful light. Ve'ita leman da'amar. Some say, no, it was the light that God created, but hung it up in the heavens only on the fourth day. He says, and that seems to be a contradiction. Vaemet enokin. But the truth is not that way. Ki hakol modim, everybody agrees, she'or shel yom rishon hu or gadol v'nignaz. It was a great light that had to be hidden. Ve'ilu ha'meorot shenitlu b'yom dalet, and the lights that were hung up on the fourth day, that were put up there for us to see, einam etzem ha'or. They are not actually the light. Ela kiblu oram min nitzotz or ha'elyon shenivra b'yom rishon. But they received their light. They were illuminated, ignited, and set on fire from the light that was created on the first day. What is he pointing out to us? He says the word is not orot, ela me'orot. And what does mem mean in Hebrew?
From.
Which means that the sun is getting its light from where? From the force of energy that was created on the first day. And who fuels that energy? Why doesn't the sun cool off after time? Why does it remain so hot all along? For God continues to fuel it. He injects it, if you like, and the light is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The light of the moon might once have been its own light that came from Bereshit, but it exploded, and all we're left with is a dark moon that reflects the light of the sun. So the light of the moon reflects the light of the sun, and the light of the sun reflects the light of Bereshit, the light created on the first day. Now compare the blessings given to the birds and the fish on the fifth day, and the blessing given to Ha'adam. What's the difference between those blessings? First, let's look at the text itself. We saw that there was not one blessing, but two. Here we go. Vayomer Elokim, Yishretzu Amayim Sheretz Nefesh. All did this. But then in Pasuk Kaf Bet, we're hearing, Vayevarech Otam Elokim, God blessed them. Lemor. Now, those of you that have learned with me in the past know that the word Lemor does not mean
saying.
Lemor means to say, as if to say, as if to say, which means he didn't actually have to pronounce those words, but a blessing is an infusion of the capability of them to do what? It's as if he said it. Pru, urvu, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters that are in the seas, and may the birds be increase all over the land. So we've got life forms in the water and life forms on land that can fly in the sky, because you know that the birds can fly in the air, in the area of the Rakia, and not outside of it. But when finally he makes all these creatures, you do not see that he created, blessed them. He didn't bless them to be increasing. Instead, only when he created the human being did he finally turn around. Vayovarech otam Elokim. God blessed them. Vayomer lahem Elokim. And he said to them, because they can comprehend, because they understand, and because they will do this consciously. Pru, urvu, umilu et haaretz, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, kifshuha, conquer her, urdu, and have dominion over the fish of the seas, and the birds in the heavens and the sky, V'chol achaya haromeset al haaretz, and over all living things that creep and crawl all over the earth. So you saw the difference. Now comes Rabbeinu Bechaye. And Rabbeinu Bechaye, who is follows often the Ramban but goes beyond him, tells us as follows. Why didn't he bless all of the behemot? And when we think of behemot, I want you to think of domesticated animals or animals that can be domesticated. The chayot and the wild animals by Yom HaShishi. מפני שמן הברכה הזאת של דגים ועופות שמן המים נתברכו גם כן בעלי הנפש המתנועת בארץ. Because the blessing given to the fish and to the birds also went to all other animals, living creatures, organisms that are on the land. But then he goes a step further. ויש לך לדעת. But I want you to know that because of the special blessing, mikoach bracha zu, hayu hadagim kayamim, the fish survived, velo nimchu bigzerat hamabul, and were not eradicated during the great flood. Ki inyan shedarshu chazal, because chazal teach us, mikol asher bacharava metu, only the things that are on land died. Velo dagim shebayam, and not fish that were in the seas. But he says, I would go a step further. Ve'od nuchal lehavin, mikoach bracha zu, shizkir pru urvu bedagim ubeofot, she'ein inyan haholada shelahem bizmanim yuduim. He says, animals have specific mating seasons. Unlike man, and unlike fish and birds. Aval bechol zmanei shana, but rather all the times of the year, hem parim verabim umolidim zeed mizeh. They are fruitful and they give birth. In other words, they mate throughout the year. Ma she'ein kein beilanot ubetzmachim. That's not the case for trees. It's not the case for plants. V'gam ba'behemot u'b'chayot shelo birech otam b'firush. And that is also the case in animals, both domesticated and wild, that they have specific mating seasons. They do not mate year-round or in multiple seasons. Why not? Why not? He believes that the mating of the human being is a separate issue, and we'll deal with that separately. But the fish, he says, live in a hostile world, and the smaller they are, the greater their fecundity, the greater the number of eggs they will lay to give them a chance of survival, because the big fish eat the little fish. The bigger fish do not reproduce nearly as much as the little ones do. The smaller and the more vulnerable they are, the more they reproduce. The bigger they are, the less enemies they have, the less chances of being consumed by others, the less they reproduce. Keeping a perfect balance, keeping everything in the right shape, in the right form. Which brings us now to focus creation of the human being. When it finally came to making the human being, the culmination of all creation, that there was day one, day two, day three, and there's certain parallels between them coming full circle. Vayomer Elokim, Naase Adam, Betzalmenu, Kidmutenu, וירדו בדגת הים ובעוף השמיים ובכל הרמס הרומס על הארץ. And right afterwards, the next verse contradicts the first one. ויברא אלוקים את האדם בצלמו, בצלם אלוקים ברא אותו, זכר ונקבה ברא otam. Not once, not twice, three times the word bara appears and creates all kinds of questions. And the questions that we have is, why does it say, let us make man, to whom was God speaking? It does not say, Totze ha'aretz, may the earth give forth. Didn't speak to the earth, did he? To whom was God speaking when he said, let us make man? More importantly, Betzalmenu, everywhere in the Tanakh, the word Tselem indicates a visible form. In our form, Kidmutenu, ke, more or less, similar in our similitude. Who is our? To whom is God speaking? Whom is God speaking to? And I know you probably have heard all kinds of ideas in the past.
The angels?
The angels. Did we hear about the angels being created?
No.
Does God need help?
There's other. Rabbi, I believe his name is Mr. Yosef. He says God was speaking to his heart.
That's exactly right. Diber belibo. That's one of the midrashim that we have in Bereshit Rabbah. So if that's the case, why would he use the plural? If you want to say you spoke to your heart because you're thinking, you are considering. And by the way, what's an angel? An angel has a separate idea. Isn't an angel nothing more than an extension, a will, a disembodied thought, if you like, of the Ribbono Shel Olam? And to say of God's form, his similitude, everything that we know about God who's invisible, who has no shape, who haya v'hu yiyeh v'hu, right? Has no beginning, has no end, has no form, you cannot see him. Come on! Doesn't this seem to contradict it? And then right afterwards you say, Salmo, Dina, go ahead.
Sorry, could he possibly be talking to everything he created until now?
Beautiful.
Like the combination of everything together, maybe?
Oh, I love that idea. Yeah, now can I resolve, says the Malbim, why it is in the human being I have vestiges of every life form that came before him. The human being is a little bit like a fish in the uterus. He doesn't breathe air. In the uterus. And he has a lot of things similar to other animals. So in a sense, all creation joined together to form our form. Well, in the time that we have left, let's quickly see what Rashi does here. Rashi, so troubled by this anthropomorphism, believes that this is nothing more than, again, midrashic, to teach you something. Anvanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamadnu mikan. We learn here. The Torah came and taught me a lesson about God's humility. Because God created man in the image of the angels. Now he wants to take away the notion that God has an image. Ve'itkan ubo. And they might get jealous of him. Why should they be jealous of man? Because an angel has no free will, and man does. Lefichach nimlach bahem. Therefore, the word nimlach means he consulted. Notice how it's similar to the word melech? Because in Hebrew, the notion is that there's no such thing as a king without the consent of his populace. They don't need to go to the elections. If they follow, if they obey, they've essentially consented to follow him. And therefore, a king, when he's about to do something, he goes and consults with his court. Though they never helped him in forming man. And there's room here for blasphemous people, for people who deny one God, to say, aha, I can prove it from your Torah that there's more than one God. Lo nimna katuv midelamed derech eretz. The Torah will often use anthropomorphisms to teach us how to work in this world. Derech eretz. Derech eretz literally means the way of the earth. In other words, how we can get along here. Courtesy. Proper behavior. umidat anava, and the quality of humility. Sheyehe agadol nimlach venotel rishut min hakatan. So that the big should always consult and ask the permission even from the one that's little. Big, little, strong, weak, powerful, and so on. V'im katav e'aseh adam, had he written, I will make man, to indicate intention, to indicate this grand pronouncement that all creation was created for human beings. Lo lamadnu sheye medaber im beitino alay matzmo, we would then only learn that he spoke to himself, not that he consulted. Therefore, he goes against the medrash that says diber im libo, he spoke to his heart. V'tshuvat haminim katav betzido, but in order to answer those who would then use this to indicate that there's more than one God, vayivra Elokim et ha'adam velo katav vayivreu, came the next verse to make it very clear. But now I'm still left with a problem. Mazet Tselem, says Rashi, batfus shelanu. A tfus today means a printing. In the form, what form is we? Kidmutenu? In our similitude, more or less, ki the word ke means approximately, lehavin, lehaskil, to understand, to have intelligence, to be conscious. But he still didn't explain what's the tfus. Comes the Ramban and tries to fill in the missing pieces. And he tells us as follows. First, nityached be'asiyat ha'adam ma'amar bavur godem ma'alato. There is a special statement of intention before God actually makes it happen. Because of man's greatness. Because of the way that he is exalting him. Ki ein tiv'o keteva ha'chaya v'ha'be'ema asher bara b'ma'amar ha'kodem lo. And to distinguish him from the animals, from the wild animals and the domesticated animals that he had created in the statement right beforehand on the same day. V'hapshat ha'nachon, I highlighted that for you so you would see that. B'milat na'aseh, who? Mipnei shekvar hereta ladat, because you were also given to see, you could see, you could learn earlier in the very first verse. Ki ha'elokim bara yesh me'ayim b'yom rishon levado. He made everything from nothing alone, on his own day, on his own, without any help. Ve'achar kach, and afterwards, min ha'yesodot ahem, from those building blocks that he created, atomic building blocks, yatzar ve'asa, he formed, he made, v'haya ha'ma'amar ba'behema, and the statement made about behemas, totse ha'aretz, may the earth give forth. Amar ba'adam. So he changed it and said when he created man, Nase, we will make. In other words, Klomar, Ani v'ha'aretz, I and the earth together will make Adam. Shetotzi ha'aretz ha'guf mi'yesodoteha. The earth will give forth the body from its elements. Kasher asta ba'behema u'b'chaya, just as she had done in making cows, in making lions and tigers, etc. Kidichtiv, as it's written later on in the second chapter, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam afar. God formed him from the dust taken from the soil. Vayiten, and he gave, hu yitbarach, he the blessed one, haruach, the spirit, the soul, mipi elyon, from the mouth of one above, kivyachol, as if God has a mouth. Kidichtiv, vayifach be'apav nishmat chaim. Ve'amar betzalmenu kidmutenu, and he said in our form, in our, like our similitude, ki yidamer lishnehem, because he's similar to both. במתכונות גופו, in his body, לארץ אשר לוקח ממנה. He comes from the earth from which he was taken. And he's like her. וידמה ברוח לעליונים, but in his spirit and in his soul, man is similar to the ones above. שאינה גוף, that there is not a body, ולא תמות, and it will not die. The soul does not die. It's eternal. And it has no place. And the Ramban elsewhere will tell us, where is your soul? It's infused throughout your body, but it transcends your body. It goes beyond the body. It's as if you have an aura about you. ואמר בכתוב השני, and in the next verse he said, בצלם אלוקים ברא אותו. When he said he created him in the form of God, you might say, wait a minute, now it says God has a form. לספר הפלא, because sometimes the word אלוקים means something, oh, incredibly big, out of this world, beyond our experience, to distinguish him more wondrous than all other creations. וזה הפשט, I found it, he said, because you always have to quote, לרבי יוסף הקמחי. Rabbi Yosef HaKimchi is the father of Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi. והוא הנראה מכל מה שחשבו בו. And I like this one more than others that I've seen here. Comes Ibn Ezra and tells us as follows. ויומר הגאון, and when he says הגאון, הגאון means רבנו סעדיה הגאון, who lived in the 900s. כי פירוש בצלמנו כדמותנו בממשלה. He is in our form, in our likeness, in his ability to rule, to govern. Vetamo betzelem, and what does it mean, the form, though it appears elsewhere, to indicate shapes that are visible? Shera'a bechokhma kitovahu ubavu kvod ha'adam. To honor a man, to indicate that even his body has a sanctity. He called it the shape of God, kivyachol. Va'amar b'milat na'aseh v'hilashon rabim, sheken min hagam lachim ledaber. And why does he say, let us make? Because that's the way kings speak. They say, we are not amused. They speak in the plural majestus. So God is talking this way. There's only one problem. We find many other places where the Ribbono Shel Olam does not speak we. But then he continues. Da ki kol ma'aseh bereshit lichvod ha'adam nivra. All that was created in the beginning was created in the honor of man. Ve'hatzmachim hotziyah otam ha'aretz ve'hamayim bekol nafshot ha'chayot. The plants that came out, the water, everything that you saw that was made. Ve'achar kach amar Hashem la'malachim. Nase Adam. That's your case. He told the angels, we together will make him. Not the earth, not the water, but the angels will together. We will make him together. Really? Very, very problematic. So I won't hold you any longer because I think we've done enough. But we will continue Emir Tzashem later on. And deal more with the creation of man and how he was made. But I will also send you an article to try to understand what does it mean, kitov. It was good. Okay? And then we will move in to study the second chapter of the creation of Adam and Chava. The first time they were created together, the second time apparently as an androgynous creature, later on separated. We will deal with that.